There we go. So the definition of a Vesper is really simple. It's a service of evening worship. That's what a Vesper is. And we're here to show reverence and love for our Heavenly Father. It says to honor or show reverence to a divine being or supernatural power. It also means to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. And isn't that way the way that we feel about our God? Right? And at the end of the day, the best way to end the day is with prayer and with worship and with grateful hearts. And the purpose of it is to draw closer to God. And it's also to separate ourselves from the world. And that's one of the best things about the conventions. We've heard throughout the weekend, we've had a wonderful weekend, but we've heard there's a lot of distractions out in the world today. There's a lot of things that can cause us some anxiety or some issues. And we're here to separate ourselves from that and to draw closer to each other in love and gratitude. One of the Psalms that always gets me in a spirit of worship is Psalms 8:3 and 8:4. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man? Why do you think of us, of all the things that you've created? There was a discourse given by Brother Tom Ruggiero at General Convention a few years back, and he spoke about humility. It was a three-part talk. Dan Wessel, Todd Alexander, and Tom Ruggiero spoke. And they talked about Micah 6:8, what does thy God require of thee? And he handled the section on humility. And I'll never forget the way he described it. It's my favorite one. He said, humility is simply nothing more or nothing less than recognizing your position in the universe. You are very small. And it is such a humble honor that the Lord thinks of us, let alone loves us, and let alone guides our entire lives. There's no greater experience that we could have as human beings. And so in hymn 294, A Secret Place, it starts off by saying, the least and the feeble here may abide. Are we here as the least and the feeble? Do we look forward to spending time with people who have really extravagant personalities, who are rich and who are famous? Or do we enjoy spending time with the humble and the meek and the lowly? Beneath his wings, they safely hide when dangers are abroad. And we see some examples of this in the scriptures. Let's think about all the prophets that Obadiah had to hide in a cave because Jezebel wanted to get to them. And they were well fed by Obadiah. God took care of his people. And that happened again in the book of Samuel as David is running from Saul. He hides in a cave, and he's so well hidden in this cave that Saul enters the cave and has no idea that he's there. David is able to remove a piece of his robe to show him later, I could have done something. And Saul had no idea. And don't we feel like God hides us from the world in the same way? Maybe not physically in a cave. I mean, I don't know about anybody. I haven't been in a cave recently. But he hides us, and he takes care of us. And we feel safe and secure in our Lord's service. Psalms 91, I think, is really beautiful to talk about a secret place and a place to hide and feel protected. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, because he holds fast to me in love. I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Wow. That's a promise from our God to us. And at the end of this secret place, and this was written by a gentleman named Henry Francis Light, and he wrote a book of poems essentially in 1834. And somebody read one of these poems and said, oh, I really like that. That should be a hymn. And so that's where this hymn comes from. And the original ending was written as this. It's just a little bit different than the way that we sing it. But God has a hand almighty to defend and an ear for every call. An honored life, a peaceful end, and heaven to crown it all. And when you think about it, our lives are so blessed. We are so spoiled rotten in the best way. So let's sing hymn number 294, and I will hand it over for the sound switch.
Safe and secret place beneath the wings divine, reserved for every child of grace, by faith who says, 'Tis mine. The least and feeblest here may bide and rest secure in wings they safely hide when dangers are abroad. The angels watch him on his way and aid with friendly eye, and Satan seek he out his prey. They hate what cannot harm. He feeds in pastures large and fair, of love and truth divine. O child of God, O glory's heir, how rich a lot is thine.
I love that hymn. The next hymn that we're going to sing is Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide. Now, does anyone remember where this comes from? Brother Stephen. On the Road to Emmaus, which I didn't realize until I looked it up. So on the road to Emmaus, there's that scripture that we're all familiar with us. Stay with us because it's almost evening. The daylight is nearly gone. And so Jesus went in to stay with him. And when we think of this hymn, Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide, can you imagine being on the road with our Lord, not knowing it's him, but you have this burning excitement inside you because he's reciting the scriptures in positive hope and faith, and he's telling you everything that's happened has been prophesied from the beginning. It's amazing. And it says, our hearts were burning within us as he was talking to us on the road and explaining the scriptures. And so when we get together and we have our fellowship and we're away from the world, we get that same feeling of excitement, that passion burning inside of us from discussing the truth one with another with grateful hearts. And I remember the Asilomar convention. I'm sure some of you out there have been to Asilomar way back in the day. It's been a little while, but that was such a beautiful convention. I want to say that this scripture was the theme scripture every single year. Come away from the world and spend some time with us, and let's spend some time alone with our Lord and with each other. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. And when we think of the time that's coming upon us in the memorial season, and we think about spending quality time with our Lord, we'll think a little bit about the disciples at the Last Supper. And in John 15:9, he says, even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be fulfilled. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so now we'll sing, Abide With Me, 'tis eventide. Love how the sound of that hymn just allows the emotions in your voice to play out as you sing it. I really enjoy that. Loving your brethren is something that we're pretty familiar with. And the next hymn that we're going to sing is Christian Fellowship. And just a few scriptures that remind us of the concept of Christian fellowship. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. And 1 John 2:1, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. They make it sound so easy. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And I'm sure there's some cases in the past where somebody physically laid down their life and came to their end. But I think really what this means for us most of the time is just the desire to serve each other and lay down our own wants, lay down our own preferences, and truly serve those around us. And if that desire's in your heart, then I think you have enjoyed true Christian fellowship. Colossians 3:12 through 3:16 has some really beautiful thoughts, and they've been posted earlier in the convention. I always like it when the Lord kind of gives us the same thing over and over through different discourses that's unplanned. Well, at least we didn't plan it. But it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, not just be in your hearts, not just be a thought in your hearts, let it rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankful hearts, thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so with that, we'll sing Christian Fellowship. I need thee every hour. This year, 2022, is the 150th anniversary of this hymn at some point in the year. I don't know what month it is, but that's how old this hymn is. And it was written by Annie Sherwood Hawks. She was an American poet and she was a gospel hymnist. And her pastor would actually write the music for some of the things that she wrote. She wrote over 400 different hymns and poems and things. This is the only one that's still sung today. And it says, "For myself, the hymn was prophetic rather than expressive of my own experiences, for it was wafted out to the world on the wings of love and joy instead of under the stress of personal sorrow." Hawks writes, "One day, as a young wife and mother of 37 years of age, I was busy with my regular household tasks during a bright June morning in 1872. Suddenly, I became so filled with the sense of nearness to the Master that, wondering how one could live without him, either in joy or pain, these words were ushered into my mind, the thought at once taking full possession of me, 'I need thee every hour.'" Later in life, her husband passed away, and she said, "Now I finally understand why so many people loved this hymn. I wrote it out of joy, but so many people cling to it in sorrow," and she didn't even realize it until after she knew what that sorrow was. And I thought that was really interesting. When we go through the hymn of "I Need Thee Every Hour," "Most precious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford." When you read that, does that make sense? Does anybody look at that and say, what are they saying? And really, they're rearranging the words to get it to rhyme, but it means no other voice gives me the peace that yours does. "Stay thou nearby, temptations lose their power when thou art nigh." They don't always go away, but they lose their power. The closer we are to God, the less of a hold they have on us. "I need thee every hour in joy or in pain." I think most people are pretty good when they run into trouble at hitting their knees and praying for help. But do we hit our knees with the same gratefulness in times of joy? And I think that's something to keep in mind. "With me, dear Lord, abide or life is in vain. Teach me thy will and thy rich promises in me fulfill." And when I read that portion of that last stanza, it reminds me of Philippians 1:6. And Wade Austin wrote this in my manna, as, you know, when you sign somebody's manna and you put your birthday and, you know, you write a scripture out. And he wrote Philippians 1:6, which means God will finish the work that he began in you. And that is a wonderful promise. So let's sing on its 150th anniversary, "I Need Thee Every Hour." last hymn that we'll sing tonight is hymn number 241, A, In the Dawning. And what better way to end the evening than to think about the kingdom of our Lord that's coming. And it's one of my favorite hymns. I like how it ties to 2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's our hope. And one of our favorite passages is from the first volume. Close your eyes for a moment to the scenes of misery and woe, degradation and sorrow that yet prevail on account of sin, and picture before your mental vision the glory of the perfect earth. Not a stain of sin mars the harmony and peace of a perfect society, not a bitter thought, not an unkind look or word. Love, welling up from every heart, meets a kindred response in every other heart, and benevolence marks every act. There sickness shall be no more, not an ache nor pain, nor any evidence of decay, not even the fear of such things. Think of all the pictures of comparative health and beauty of human form and feature that you have ever seen, and know that perfect humanity will be of still surpassing loveliness. The inward purity and mental and moral perfection will stamp and glorify every radiant countenance. Such will earth's society be, and weeping, bereaved ones will have their tears all wiped away when thus they realize the resurrection work complete. And that is our hope, and that is why we are here, and that is what we look forward to. And In the Dawning is a wonderful hymn that shows us. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, we are now the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What an amazing thought. We shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it's written, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. So let's sing hymn 241A, In the Dawning.
In the dawning of beloved, when as night of sin is past, God will be your tears and heartaches. You shall see his face at last. God will doubts nor
My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. So thank you all for giving us some time to go through a Vesper service. I hope you found it a blessing, and I hope you found it a nice mental way to wrap up the day.